The Anglo-Afghan Sufi writer Idris Shah was born in the Himalayas, in the hill town of Simla. In his many books, he often retells ancient tales with an emphasis on their usefulness rather than their folkloric value. One story tells of a river that finds herself weaving through a dry, sandy desert in front of a mountain range, perhaps the Himalayas. The river throws herself against the foot of the mountain and forms a puddle in the sand. "What can I do?" she thinks miserably. A voice, the voice of the wind, tells the river, "You must give yourself up to the winds, become clouds that will blow over the mountains. There you will fall as rain on the other side and find yourself rushing down to the sea." The river was nervous and especially disliked the idea of giving up her individuality to the winds and then the sea, but the winds told her, "Even if you throw yourself for 1,000 years against the mountain foot, the most you will become is a vile swamp. Instead, trust that your essence will survive even if your outer form changes, and finally you will find yourself home with the ocean." The river used all her courage and gave herself up to the winds and flew into the sky and over the mountains and finally down to the sea. There she at last understood how to be both a drop of water and an ocean at the same time, and yet not lose sight of either. Truly, it was worth the journey. I had been planning a journey to the Himalayas, the place of my father's birth, Mussoorie, another hill resort, for many years. As a young lad, he had been carried in a sedan chair through the snow to his first school high in the hills. Such snippets of family history can act like a small demon driving you on. Sir Richard Burton, an explorer I particularly admired, explained that he had to roam around endlessly because the devil drives. While in India, he also studied Sufism along with falconry and was tireless in his acquisition of local languages and dialects. Yet once I arrived, I spent months not going near the mountains. For many weeks, I lacked even the oomph to get out of Delhi. We are so bombarded with images of the mountains, great photographs and YouTube documentaries featuring people squirrel-suiting down canyons at 27,000 feet, that long before I'd been there, I felt I'd done that. A squirrel suit is a kind of flying suit used in freefall parachuting, halfway between hang glider and falling stone. Oddly enough, the weird and clunky end to A Passage to India, the movie, is very similar to the effect the Himalayas have on you when you finally get among them. Pristine angled mountains, often glimpsed from a road that is carved into a damp, shale-collapsing hillside. But all that would come later. In the meantime, I was reveling in just being in India, the epicentre of all backpacker action, where the hippie traveller cliché is a daily reality and yet seems to dent the lives of Indians hardly a bit. Though in the 15 years since I'd last been there, the tent cities of semi-homeless people had grown bigger, and the smell of buffalo dung had given way to the more pervasive smell of diesel exhaust. Amid displays of limes pyramiding in the harsh sunlight, endless tooting and underpowered revving, fewer people seemed interested in me as a foreigner. I had experienced the same in Cairo, my home for the last 10 years, the falling off of interest in foreigners. Life the world over takes more out of you, or makes you more self-centred. Why, I wasn't sure. Maybe on this trip I would find out.